another ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been having fun each week now for 7 or 8 weeks. I've lost count here. And today we want to see another part, ministry that the Holy Spirit plays in us, through us, and with us. And I hope this will be a blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, when you find that in your copy of God's Word, please stand out of respect of God's Word. And we invite you to read aloud if you'd like to, or follow silently in your copy of God's Word. Ephesians 1, starting in verse number 12. Ready? That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. That verse there, the two previous verses, the context of Ephesians 1, truly could revolutionize your Christianity. It truly could bring a sense of stability and security. That's what it's about. If you'd be willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us through the Scriptures are God-breathed, they're inspired. If you'll listen to that and allow that which is in the believer inside of you to speak through you in understanding and illumination, then you'll come to the same conclusion. What's that conclusion, Pastor? That the Holy Spirit has begun a work that will be completed in heaven. Now, we're not in heaven. We have all the pains and aches and troubles of life. We know we're here on earth. We're reminded of that constantly. But wait a minute. There's something heavenly in us. And that which is in us, the Holy Spirit of God, has been given to us so that we can know a little bit about heaven on this earth, and so that we can be prepared to get there when we do. Now, between earth and heaven, God has His will. And His will is that we would walk in the Spirit. In doing so, we will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. In walking with the Spirit, we get the power of God. In walking in the Spirit, we get the joy and the peace and the long-suffering, all the fruits of the Spirit, all available to you. All those things will be perfected in heaven. You have a start on them right now. So why don't you agree today that if God trusts me with His Holy Spirit, He's got a lot of other things He wants to trust me with too. You are important. You are special. If you were the only person alive when Jesus died on the cross, He'd have died for you. That's how much love He has. So stop listening to Satan. This is church. He's not allowed here. We haven't invited Him, and I hope you haven't either. Okay? So let's pray for God's filling and understanding and His security through the Holy Spirit. Father, You brought us here for such a time. We have been blessed today already. All parts of our service, the prayer and the testimonies and the singing and the worship. Lord, it is good to be in Your house today. But Father, the Word of God must minister to us. We are so weak, we need the bread of life. We are so immature, we need more of the meat of the Word that we would grow thereby. Father, give us now the power of the Holy Spirit in our understanding that we have an eternity that's already started. If when You saved us, we gained life everlasting, then the life that You began in us through the power of the Holy Spirit and the regeneration that we have in our spirit is not something we wait for one day. It's something that has already begun. You have begun a good work in us. I pray that You'll perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, and I pray that today we start to realize it. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The best news that I can share with the church today, I'm going to share with you. The best news that I can share with the church. Now, somebody who's lost might say, well, okay, he's going to tell us the gospel of Jesus Christ. I promise you that will be in the message. It's always in the message. And we dare not stand behind a pulpit in God's house and forsake this, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, church. If you're already saved, you don't need to be told how to be saved. You need to be encouraged on how to live like you're saved. So the best news that any preacher can give to the church, to believers, is what to do after you get saved. How do we live for God? How do we put biblical principles into practice? So that's what we have in our good news today. We're supposed to rejoice because our names are written in heaven. And that's why some of the songs that we sing, like that first one, was a celebratory song, which helps us to rejoice because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has overthrown Satan, and we have our names written in the book of life, and we have salvation through our Savior, so we rejoice. But according to our text, we also rejoice because we have been given an inheritance. We have been given an inheritance, and that inheritance is an incorruptible inheritance. That means when God gave it to us, it doesn't diminish in value. It doesn't be lesser in scope as we grow older. It continues to glisten and glow. When we get to heaven, God will look at us, and we will be judged. That judgment seat of Christ will show for us those things that we did in our flesh. For our own glory, the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. But for all of you who have served Jesus the best that you can in his glory, for his purposes, that will go on to live, and you'll be given a crown, and you'll be given rewards. I personally believe that you'll not want any of them for yourself because Jesus is enough. Heaven is enough if Jesus is there, right? So when whatever God offers you in heaven, you'll give it and throw it at the feet of Jesus Christ. Because other than Jesus, we wouldn't be there no matter how much we have or we don't have. So Jesus is our reason for heaven, and we understand that. But the inheritance can be spent right now. So when you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, took up residence in your spirit. Took that which you were dead in, your trespasses and sin. Jesus forgave you of all them, cast them as far as the east is from the west. And the Holy Spirit came in and indwells you and gave you an inheritance, incorruptible. An inheritance that he wants you to start spending right now. Well, I'll just have to wait till I get to heaven to rejoice. Are you kidding me? Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, I'll just have to wait to get to heaven because I just have too many problems on this earth. Oh, woe is you. You need to understand that what Jesus did wasn't part-time. It wasn't a little thing. It wasn't just because he had nothing better to do that he would save you or me. No, he has counted us righteous. He has put us in the family. He is our elder brother. He is our Lord and Savior, our priest. And we do not have to go to anybody else. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy. And if you go to him, you'll come back a lot wealthier. Wealthier in joy, wealthier in peace, wealthier in understanding, and let me say this, this is what's missing, wealthier in your security as a believer. Because that's what the Holy Spirit has done. He is our guarantee, our future in heaven. Nothing can separate us from his love. If you've been given an inheritance, you have not obtained it because of some great deed that you have done. If you have truly inherited something, according to the word inheritance, it's simply because of who your father is that you've inherited. If you've inherited eternal life, it's not because of anything we've done. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it has been gifted to you. So those of us who have received salvation in Jesus Christ, we are the inheritance of God. Therefore, guess where the king lives? In the kingdom? Guess where you and I get to live? In the kingdom. We get to go to our Heavenly Father. We get to enjoy all the rights and privileges of being a child. I'm a child of the king, a child of the king. And you have that right now. To inherit something is to have been inherently given. The word that Webster uses for inheritance is to come into possession of or receive as a right a possession. So it is with heaven. Every saint gains the joy and the splendorous riches that are there We're not there yet. We cannot go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. While we have on this mortal flesh, it is earthly. So we're on the earth. When we lay down that mortal flesh, we'll wake up in the glories and splendors of heaven. But that does not mean that you can't have some heaven on earth. Didn't Jesus himself tell us to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom, thy will on earth. So you can't tell me that there's nothing in heaven available for us today. You're not going to sell me on that one, because I have the Holy Spirit in my heart, and where in the world do you think he came from? I have the joy of Jesus in my heart, and where do you think that came from? It didn't come from my job or my sorrow or anything here on this earth. It came straight from heaven above. Heaven has come down into us by way of the Holy Spirit. Romans 4 is so beautiful. Oh, I just wish I had more time just to read you all these scriptures I have, but I'm not going to do it, but I'll read some of it. Here's what part of Romans 4 says. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace. Somebody trying to work their way to heaven. But of debt. But to him that works not, somebody that's not trying to work their way to heaven, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So if you're trying to earn rewards from God, you won't get any. If you're willing to rest in who you are in Jesus, God says, I got a lot of good stuff for you. I have inherited spiritual wealth for everybody who will stop trying to earn it with their hands and accept it with their heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We are heirs by blood and by birth. Glory to the Father. We do not gain heaven by being servants, but by being sons. We are inheritors of the gift of eternal life by adoption and by the Spirit's regeneration into our dead spirit. For when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, now are we made alive by what, Pastor? By his Spirit. So you and I, if you've been born again in the family of God, and you know there is a time and a place where you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, where you put faith and trust in him. You weren't trusting Buddha. You weren't trusting a church. You weren't trusting grandma or grandpa, but you knew that it was Jesus who died on the cross for you. It was he who rose up from the dead. It was he who ascended into heaven. And the glorious gospel, the good news now, was believed by you. All you have received him have become the sons of God. Even to him that believeth. Okay, so we know that, Pastor. Well, let me ask you this. Did you know that our text says we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance? So if I have an inheritance, how do I get that? What does it mean? How come I don't feel like it all the time? What happens if I sin after I get the inheritance? What happens with all of that? And that in is where the devil plays his games of trickery upon people's minds and in different churches, and they have different beliefs. And, oh, I believe you get saved by faith, but I believe you lose it as soon as you go into sin, Pastor. I believe that's true. Well, then you haven't been reading your Bible too much. Because if you're saved by grace, how do you think you're kept? By the same grace of God. Not of works, lest any man would boast. Our text tells us that we've been sealed. And what we've been sealed by is an earnest. What a great word. Earnest money is a term we still use today. How many of you, when you bought your house, put a security deposit down, put some earnest money down? Anybody else do that besides me? Oh, quite a few people, that's right. You know what that is? That's a good faith promise. That's what it is. That's telling the buyer and or the realtor or both that you're not just considering it, you're serious about it. And if you are serious about it and they receive that good faith promise money, then it is a legal binding contract. The truth of the matter is, when you got saved, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a foretaste. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of, And when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in and said, listen, I can't take you to heaven right now. One day you're going to go, but I'm going to give you a down payment, a promise of the eternal security love of Jesus Christ. And if you'll rest in that, Satan will not have your mind. If you put on that helmet of salvation, if you cover yourself with the armor of God and your breast is open and your heart is exposed, the devil will get to it. But if you live for Jesus and do your best to walk in the Spirit, I will give you a of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Have that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God has all this for us to enjoy now, unless you just decide to feel sorry for yourself, unless you like wallowing in your sorrow, unless you want to continue doubting, unless you like the darkness better than the light, and you decide to live there. The Holy Spirit has come to get you out of that mindset and to give you a beautiful foretaste of heaven, and he's done so in his person. An earnest is not just a promise, but an upfront down payment, a deposit. If I promise a man that I'll give him something, that's a pledge. But if I pay him upfront, it's more than a pledge, it's an earnest, because it is part of the thing itself. The Holy Spirit is a pledge to God's children in earnest. What a wonderful thing that is. So God left heaven by way of his Spirit and entered into us. When you put faith and trust in him, you became the sons of God. You were born again of the water and of the Spirit. And he said, now you have some of heaven inside of you, which is my promise, God says, an earnest payment that you'll enjoy all the rights and benefits of being paid in full. What a wonderful thing the Lord has begun in you. What a wonderful work he has begun. And I would pray that you would relish in that today. The Holy Spirit is the promised security deposited into our spirit that guarantees our eternal inheritance. Guarantees it. The security of the believer is not merely a delight for the mature, stable Christian, but it's available the moment you got saved. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God? Ye are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So that means when your body doesn't feel like it, your spirit tells your body, hey, shape up there, buddy. Shape up there, buddy. Start resting in God. Read your Bible. Love God. And when your spirit is, and when your body is happy and your spirit's kind of down, your body says, wait a minute. Now you were telling me how to live. Now I'm going to let you know. I'm going to church whether you feel like it or not. And you come and the Spirit sustains the body, the infirmity, and God sustains you. And before you know it, a little bit of heaven came down and was in your soul. Bless God. That's what we need a little bit more of. We need a little bit more of being in touch with the Holy Spirit, who reminds us of who we are, who gets us excited and turns the light on, and we bask in the joy of God's love. That's what you need. It's what I need. It's what the church needs. And the Holy Spirit can do that. Well, there's a threefold process, and yes, I know this is a long introduction, but it's the hearing. That's what our scripture says. Verse 13, after that you heard the word of God, the gospel, then you received it. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the? Nobody gets saved outside of the Bible. Nobody gets saved without the word. The Bible says in John 1, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. I'm telling you, all other religions do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but we know he is. Therefore, we worship the God who is the Lord, and it's through Jesus Christ. So we have that. So we heard the word of God. Now there's something that makes us want to receive it. So then he said, if you believe, you receive the gospel of your salvation when you believe upon him. He that believeth on, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When you put faith and trust in him, you believe, you trust that he is the Son of God, that he did die for your sins, and that he will forgive all of your sins. That's what you do. Now, what do you do after that? Then he says, after you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So after you got saved, immediately the Holy Spirit starts to work to tell you that you're saved. But I have to tell you, the bad news is Satan does too. Satan begins work immediately. And can I tell you, I have had folks testify to me in this church that the day after they got saved and baptized was the hardest day of their life. Satan came in and started telling them all kinds of negative. You weren't serious. It was just an emotional decision. You just went down forward because somebody else did. And boy, the devil's a liar. Is he still a liar? Will he always be a liar? Absolutely. So don't listen to him. He doesn't have any new games to play. He is the same old devil smutty face. If I could put him in a box and throw away the key for all the tricks he played on me. And the truth of the matter is, he's playing on some of your minds right now. God has given you the Holy Spirit, which is your security. He is your inheritance, the earnest of your inheritance. And the devil's trying to tell you, don't listen to that preacher. Don't listen to him. So we know that's what God does. Now that you can be secured and know it is what I want you to understand. The hardest time in my life. I've had lots of trials, going through a trial right now. But the most difficult time in my life, I remember, was between the day I got saved and 4.5 years later when I finally believed I was really saved. For 4.5 years, I listened to Satan's lies telling me I'm not good enough. My sins are too bad. I don't deserve to be forgiven. My family's, at that time, my parents were going through a divorce. And as a child, sometimes you internalize all those things. And I had no joy in my life. And can I say this? I didn't read my Bible. I went to church because my mom took us to church. But I don't remember getting anything from going to church other than the fact that it was a box checked off. I was growing more and more disillusioned. I was not living like a Christian. I was not making Christian choices. I had no joy. Why? I got saved. And listen, I promise you before God, and I remember I remember almost like it happened yesterday. The preacher preaching, and he happened to preach on hell that day. And boy, I sat there, and my palms were sweaty, and I knew that I was going to be thrown into the lake of hell simply for all the things that I had done up as a 10-year-old boy. But when he gave the invitation, and I came forward, it was as if nobody else was there. And I knelt down at that old-fashioned altar, and nobody dealt with me at first. But then Mrs. White came, and she put her arm around me, and she said, "Little Eddie, why did you come forward today?" I start crying. I said, "Because I don't want to go to hell." And she said, "Well, you don't have to. The preacher just said, if you'll put faith and trust in Jesus Christ, yeah, that's what I want to do." "Well, then you need to do that." "Okay. How shall we hear without a preacher? Somebody has to guide us." And thank the Lord, she knew that I was serious, and she sat me down on the front row as they began singing other songs, and she said, "You need to put faith and trust in Jesus." And she just took like 2 or 3 little verses, and I was as ready as a boy as anybody could be. And she said, "Now you need to pray." "What do I need to pray?" "Tell God that you understand you're a sinner." "God, I'm a sinner." "Tell him that you know the penalty for sin is death." "I don't want to go to hell. I know I deserve it." "Tell him that you know Jesus Christ died on the cross for you." "Jesus, I know you did. I know it's true." "Ask him to come into your heart and forgive your sins." "Jesus, would you please come into my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I trust you, dear Jesus. Right now, save me." And she looked at me. She said, "Did you mean that with all your heart?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "According to the word of God, you are now a child of God." And I wiped the tears away, and I stood up a little taller, and I went back and sat down, and I went home, and man, that was a great day. Now, I had wanted to get baptized at that time, but it was the first week in March, first or second week, I think it was the first week, according to my mom. In March, in northern Ohio, there is still ice on the creek. And by the way, they got ice on the creeks too. And so we had to wait. until the first, second week in April, I forget when it was, and there were three or four of us, and we went down to the Huron River. And we went, found there was a hole down, because it was really not very deep, and then there was a hole down there. And the pastor took me, and boy, I was never happier than to have that experience and remember the weeks before when Jesus washed my sins away. But I can tell you, before I got home, Satan was sowing little seeds of, that's just water. Water doesn't wash your sins away. I know you told those lies. I know you beat up your sister, your brother. I know you didn't obey your mom and dad. I know what you've done. And because I had no Bible, I didn't have any verses memorized. I don't even think I knew John 3:16. I had no defense. Nobody had told me, now I need to get some Christian armor on, that there's darts coming at me. Nobody shared that with me. Now, I went to Sunday school. Maybe I was just that 10-year-old kid who didn't listen, probably was. But I don't remember anybody ever saying, now that you've been saved, here's what you need to do. So between the age of 10 and 14 and a half, I did what every other unsaved boy did and felt terrible about it. Until I went to a preaching conference one time. And the preacher preached the message, deceived. There are people in this room, some teenagers in this room, you're deceived into thinking that you are saved because your mom and dad are saved. Amen. You're deceived into thinking you get to go to heaven because you're part of a church. You've been deceived into thinking that because you get straight A's or get better grades than somebody else or because you haven't done the things other people have done that you're going to go to heaven. And boy, he preached and let us know that those dear people were going to find themselves in hell unless they got saved. And then he said, there's a group of people in here. You've been deceived by the devil just as well. And you've been deceived into thinking that you're not a Christian when you have done what God has told you to do. You have believed on the name of the Son of God. You have put faith and trust in Him. You have followed the Scriptures to the best of your ability and all the sincerity you can, but you have believed Satan's lies, and you have no joy.
That's me.
You don't have any peace.
Yeah.
You're wondering if God was really serious when He said He'd save you.
Yeah, that was me.
And then they gave the invitation. Same thing happened as happened when I got saved 4.5 years earlier. I came down to the altar, and I didn't know that there was anybody else in the room. You ever have that feeling like God's got you in a separate closet somewhere, speaking to you? And there were deacons in that church and ministers in that church going from teenager to teenager asking them, do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Yes, I do. Have you been deceived into thinking that the devil has lied to you, telling you you're not saved when you really are? Yeah, and then they would take them over here and they would counsel them. So it was two different groups, one to get saved and one to get the assurance of your salvation. I went to get the assurance of my salvation. Let me tell you, when they showed me 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Yeah, I did that. That you may know that you have eternal life. Let me see that. Where's that been all these 4.5 years? And that no man can pluck me out of his hand. And that I've been given an eternal inheritance that fadeth not away. Oh, could have had a V8. I couldn't believe that I'd gone all those years in such misery. What was wrong with me? Now, there's some of you like that in here today. And you've maybe grown a centimeter, but you've not grown much more than that in your Christian faith since the day you got saved. And it's not because you're any less of anything. It's because you have not yet put your faith and trust in the same Holy Spirit who saved you. He's given you an eternal security life insurance plan, and you didn't know that it was in the safe box all the time. And there it is. Now, how can I experience and know the eternal security of the Holy Spirit? Let me give you a few things and we'll be done. How can I know, Pastor? Number one, God's seal cannot be broken. God's seal cannot be broken. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit himself is the seal. So if you do not have the Holy Spirit, of course you're not sealed. You need to get saved. Today is the day of your salvation. But if you have, you're as much saved as Billy Graham is. You're as much saved as D.L. Moody was, as Dr. Spurgeon was. You are a child of God, and you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God worked out all the salvation stuff before I was even born? Yes. Did he know the sins I was going to commit? Yes. In his foreknowledge, he predestined us, predestinated us. He knew who would and who will accept him or not. And he died for even the murderers and whoremongers and adulterers. And for all of you who feel proud right now because you're not in that Revelation 21 verse 8 verse, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. He set it up before we were even born because he knew that we would sin. And he loved us that much. The spiritual blessings of God are based not only on the sovereign election of the Father, verses 3 through 6 of our text, and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, verses 7 through 12, but also on the seal of the Holy Spirit. God seals us in with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? God seals us in the family with the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. God has sealed you in the family. So nobody can break the seal and take you out. Nobody can do that. Nothing, not principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Did you get that? The word seal, Webster's dictionary says, to confirm, to authenticate, or guarantee certification. It's a guarantee. It means in the Hebrew to stamp ownership upon with a signet or a private mark. God has marked us Christians. In fact, and you'll know this is true, especially about Baptists, we are peculiar people. Amen. We, as much chicken, we almost start walking around like this. Of course we're peculiar. We're God's children. And he's put a special mark on us, in us, which is the Holy Spirit of God. A seal identifies the belonging item to the owner. Being sealed by the Holy Spirit is the mark that signifies that I'm a child of God. Glory to his name. Seals and sealing are spoken of in the Old Testament. Queen Jezebel used Ahab's seal to order a conspiracy to kill Naboth. 1 Kings 21, verse 8. Queen Esther delivered the Jews with a decree sealed with the king's ring. Esther chapter 8, verse 8. The Medes and Persians, so let it be written, so let it be done, sealed with the king's ring, and it could never, ever be undone. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and a stone covered the entrance of the den, and the king put his seal upon it. And then when he went the next morning and opened it up, how you doing down there, Daniel? I'm having a party with the pussycats. Wow, you're still alive. Yeah, the devil can shut me in, but only God can shut me out. Jesus Christ was buried in Joseph's tomb, and the Roman seal was put on that. Only God can break a seal. And God's seal is unbroken. Man cannot undo what God does. No man can pluck us out of our Father's hand. Who is the sealer? Christ himself, who came from the Father, who purchased us with his own blood. He would have to undo the Trinity for us to undo our salvation. Did you get that? Jesus said to the Father in John 18:9, not one of them that thou gavest me have I lost. Did you get that? Jesus said to his Father, of all these people who have come unto me and received me, I've not lost one, except for Judas, the son of perdition. Why? Why was Judas lost? Because he never got saved. That's why. He never truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he himself was rejected by his own lack of faith. You don't go to hell because you decide to steal 30 pieces of silver. You don't go to hell because you turn somebody in. You don't go to hell because you lie about somebody and get them arrested. You go to hell because you reject Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about the unfailing purpose of God to give Jesus to redeem the world. What did Jesus do? Listen, the sealing is a transaction that's finished. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. John 17, verse 4. What did Jesus do to seal us? He gave us ownership. He stamped his ownership upon us. We have been made the children of God, and we are his own. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. What seal? The Lord knows them that are his. Woohoo! He knows my name. Yeah. He knows everything about. He knows everything about me. Yes. And he loves me still. And he knew it before I was even born. And he knew it when I got saved. And he put the Holy Spirit inside as a security deposit till I get to heaven. Wow. And then, of course, the security is what secures us. Ephesians 4:30, the Bible says, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So I have been given and deposited into me an earnest, which is the Holy Spirit of God, and God says he will be there until I see you in heaven, and if I see you in heaven through the blood of Jesus, I will say, enter into the joys of this world. Verse 31 of Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, what shall I say to these things? What shall I say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Boy, we think too much, too highly of what other people say and not highly of what God says. No wonder people walk around not knowing if they're the children of God. They've been listening to other people instead of God. God has made us a child of his, and if Jesus has forgiven us, and if the Holy Spirit has entered in and sealed us, who can unmake us a child of God? God's seal cannot be broken. And then God's seal is the earnest. The word earnest there means is the Greek word arabon. It literally is a down payment or first installment that secures the sum. So when God saved me, he gave me the Holy Spirit, I do not walk yet on streets of gold. Anybody doing that lately? No, it's in heaven. I don't have a pearly gate in my house, all right? I don't have walls where the foundations are 12 manners of precious stones, and I don't have that. Jesus isn't there on the throne. I have to live in an earthly house on the earth. But wait a minute. Hold the phone, Nelly. What God has already given us puts us into the very throne room of God, where beside the very throne of God, the Bible says there are books. And one of them is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And whosoever's name was not found written therein shall be cast into everlasting darkness. But for those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, he'll say, enter in to the joys of this world. How do we get that, Pastor? When you get saved. And the Holy Spirit comes in and is deposited into your spirit. And now are ye the children of God. So when somebody says, I don't believe that God would send anybody to hell, say, are you a child of God? Well, yes, I am. Then you have nothing to worry about. Because God does not send his children to hell. The Bible says those who reject Christ are sons of Belial. They're those who have not yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Spirit is the earnest. There is much more to come. That's what he says. I'm going to give you this deposit so the Holy Spirit will tell you how to live a Christian life. He'll remind you and guide you and comfort you and teach you and love you and convict you and help you so that when you get to heaven, you'll say, hey, I think I got started on that the day I got saved. You did. He's the earnest of your eternal inheritance. We have been given a deposit. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of our heavenly inheritance. The transaction began at salvation and will be completed with a glorified body in heaven. Can somebody say amen? The Holy Spirit of God has been deposited in us that we might know and enjoy a little bit of heaven on earth. Matthew Henry said this. He said, this earnest makes it as sure to the heirs as though they were already possessed of it. This earnest has made us so sure as an heir that we might well already have it. You are already in heaven because the Holy Spirit is there. So that's why there's no holding ground. Whoever in the world came up with a purgatory, whoever in the world came up with the idea that after you die, we got to put you in hold. We got to put you in a cell and keep an eye on you to see if you've been naughty or nice. And if you're good, and if your family's good, and if they give some dough to the priest, maybe you'll get a free rein out of there. That's the devil's teaching. If to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, if the rich man went and woke, died one day and woke up, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell. And then the Bible goes on to say, and that Lazarus, that beggar, woke up in heaven. And that man in hell, who had rejected Christ because riches were more important to him than salvation, when he looked up, and he saw that Lazarus dude, that guy who was begging at his gate, that guy who wanted the crumbs from his table, that guy that he spit on, had no time for. What are you doing up there and I'm down here? Abraham, would you send Lazarus, still bossing him around, to bring some water down to me, for I'm being tormented? Abraham said, I can't do that. I'm nobody up here. I'm the same as Lazarus. It's my brother in Christ. We're the same here. And there's a great gulf fixed. I cannot go where you're at. You cannot go where I'm at. Eternity is final. And there is no place in between. All the funds necessary to pay our total redemption were paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. And then lastly, God's promises are sure. God's promises are sure. God, which cannot lie, has promised since the foundation of the world. Listen, if you've been saved, you can bank on waking up in heaven if you die. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit. Did you get that? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you're part of the true family of God. And for anybody, especially the devil, to undo that, he would have to undo the entire Trinity. We are established in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. The same God who said, I will forgive you, said, and I will deposit in you the Holy Spirit to guarantee your salvation. 1 Peter 1:3 and 4, God has begotten us to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. Get this, reserved in heaven for you. Have you ever made a reservation at a restaurant or someplace and you get there and they can't find your name? Anybody know what that feels like? I've done that. Most of us, we know that feeling. Well, wait a minute. Sorry, sir. I don't see your name here. I don't see your name here. God, which cannot lie, who never forgets, who knows the beginning from the end, has written our names down. And Satan does not have a right to the book of life. I'm about ready to have a Babicostal fit here. I don't even know how to react other than 4.5 years I wasted my life thinking I wasn't a real Christian. And the devil got all the glory. Everlasting life never ends. It is everlasting. He that believes in Christ shall never perish, and no man shall pluck him out of my Father's hands. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that we have a witness inside of us, a witness that assures and guarantees our relationship with God. Guarantees. Guarantees. Now, how do you know that, Pastor? Because every time I try to live like I'm not a child of God, something inside tells me so. You ever feel that conviction? You ever feel the Father saying, now, come on, that's not the way I want my child to act. Now, come on, come back over here where the light's shining. And the devil says, come over here. And God says, abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you want. Well, that's what I want. But God, I asked you for things I didn't get. And the devil says, aha, see that? He doesn't love you. And isn't it true sometimes Christians are going back and forth, trusting and doubting and trusting and doubting and believing and crying and giving up and quitting church and giving in and stopping? All because we are not spending enough time in the Word and listening to the Holy Spirit. He is our witness. He was there the day you got saved. Nobody can speak against the Holy Spirit of God. So I think it's time for God's people. And I think it's time for all of us to get it settled. And the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today because he what? Washed my sins away. I think it's true. There might be somebody here today, you've been struggling with this. And you need to know that if you have the Holy Spirit of God, you have all the security force that God owns living within your spirit. Would you bow your heads, please? Oh, dear Lord, I told our church that this was good news, and Lord, I was just sharing how it has felt with